And first up today, the ABC. Now, the Water Watchdog has been made aware of a number of instances where irrigators in the Namoi Valley have pumped water out of the river as the first flush came down after the weekend rains. This action was taken despite warnings being issued by Namoi Water not to pump, and then a subsequent embargo was placed on pumping by the New South Wales government. Pumping was detected on a number of properties well after the formal embargo came into effect. Chief Regulatory Officer with the Natural Resources Access Regulator, Grant Barnes, says they're following up on what are disturbing allegations.
Look, I can confirm that NRA has received reports of pumping in the Namoi on Monday, 1st of April, after the embargo was officially communicated. Now, we take those allegations seriously and have commenced investigations into their legality.
So that means that you were informed that it had happened after that sort of 10 a.m. cut-off time, even though, and there was a warning put out by Namoi Water, I understand, the day before as well. So there's fair warning went out.
We understand that following the embargo's gazettal on Sunday evening, that correspondence was sent out to water users in making it clear of the existence of the embargo and restrictions on pumping. We've had calls subsequently from concerned people in the Namoi Valley regarding pumping, and we take those allegations seriously and have commenced investigations. So we understand that communications have gone out to water users and reiterate it's the obligation of water users to ensure that they understand whether pumping is permitted at any time they turn the pumps on.
So how concerning is it to you that this behaviour is still happening?
It's a concern if someone has contravened those restrictions knowingly and willfully. We could accept some circumstances where there is a genuine reason why the water user wasn't aware, but as I say, the obligation is on the water user to check the conditions of pumping and whether pumping is permitted prior to turning the pumps on.
Because there was communications put out on the radio, I understand, there was email sent out and there was gazetted as well, so they would have to have not been checking their email or the internet or been listening to the radio to say they didn't realise there was an embargo on.
And Michael, in our experience, the Bush Telegraph is pretty effective and news makes its way round the community quite quickly.
What sort of fines are we talking about for these sort of contraventions?
So the first thing that we would do in conducting an investigation would be determine whether the water user should have reasonably known about the embargo prior to pumping. Other factors that would determine our action would be their conduct since pumping began, the attitude of the water user to compliance, and the public interest in progressing compliance action. Now, the tools that we have available to us go from the issuance of advisory notices and warnings right the way through to penalty infringement notices of up to $1,500 per company, or in some circumstances we may choose to take enforcement action in the form of prosecution.
Now, is it likely that there'll be other embargoes on other rivers? I mean, we're seeing that there's a possibility some water going down the Warrego, the Darling maybe as well. So is there a possibility we might see embargoes or it's likely we'll see restrictions on any water coming down from Queensland, for example?
I understand that my colleagues are actively reviewing the situation and that further embargoes might be possible. It's important that water makes its way down the system as far as possible for critical human needs, for stock and domestic water replenishment purposes, and for high security water users.
And not to mention the fish kill.
And importantly, for environmental matters as well, and the fish kill remains the forefront of many of our minds.
And I understand too that you've got 400 cases at the moment that you're looking at where people have done the wrong thing. Is that accurate?
So we've, since opening our doors almost 12 months ago, Michael, received over 650 allegations, or what we call alleged breach notices, and they are entered into our system and are investigated. As speaking to you today, we have around about 440 cases being actively investigated.
So that, I mean, that still seems like a lot, given the publicity we've had in regards to water and water theft.
A lot of our actions and attention has been focused on legacy matters, those that we inherited prior to our establishment on 30 April. Also, expect in times of drought, there's a heightened awareness of water in New South Wales, and that in itself is generating calls. NRA, we've received over 4 inquiries, separate inquiries, since we commenced, and from that have logged 1,200 allegations. Now, those 1,200, that's made up of around 600 cases received from those legacy agencies, and in addition, 650 that have been logged since we were established on 30 April.
That must be a concern, that many, because, you know, I would have thought that people would be gun-shy about, you know, putting in diversions or illegal damming or illegal pumping. I thought people would have been, you know, with given the publicity, they'll stop doing it.
So of the cases that we have investigated and resolved, over half of them relate to controlled activity approvals or works being undertaken within a watercourse without prior approval. Other offence types relate to water use, not having the required licences and such matters related to water use. Of the 650-odd cases that we have investigated, half of them have generated some form of compliance action, most of which has seen the issuance of advisory notices or warning letters.
And, of course, some fines.
And some fines.
That was Grant Barnes, who is with NRA, and he's a Chief Regulatory Officer with NRA. And he also made mention there 440 cases where they're taking some sort of action, some court cases, some fines, and also advisory letters as well going up. So 440 cases at the moment where they're taking action, and a number of those cases of pumping during embargoes have landed on the desk again today after yesterday's actions by some people in the Namoi Valley. It's 14 minutes past 12 here on the country. Sharon's texted in to say, went on that water system, but they Googled for embargo details that morning and never turned anything up in the search. Then they heard it on the radio, but they don't check emails regularly, so a text would be an additional option for notice as well. Apparently some texts did go out, Sharon, according to NRA and also Namoi Water. Now, New South Wales Irrigators Council, you might want to text us some details about that or your thoughts on the new regulatory regime for water. 0467 922 684, 0467 922 684 is the number to text us here at the Country Hour. Now, on that issue, New South Wales Irrigators Council CEO Luke Simpkins says the advice not to pump went out very quickly and the embargo was in train within a day. He says irrigators are the first to complain if water is being accessed illegally or without the proper license, because it's a precious resource that shouldn't be abused.
Now, obviously, there's been a significant amount of rainfall up around the Namoi and some other rivers as well. And yesterday, just after noon, our member organisation, Namoi Water, emailed their members saying that they strongly recommend against pumping during that event, because they said that there'd probably be rules established that the water was going to be required to basically be the first flush of the river. And whilst they didn't think that the water would make it as far down as Walgett or anywhere like that, that they still recommended against a pump. Now, after that, last night, New South Wales, or Department of Industry Water, put a gazetted that that there was going to be a Section 324 embargo on the flows in the Namoi River. And at 6 a.m, Water New South Wales apparently started communicating that the embargo was in place.
But apparently, according to someone that texted into the Country Hour, they were still hearing pumps at midday.
Well, look, in that case, either someone was doing the wrong thing or that they just didn't know that the embargo was in place. People have to do the right thing, and irrigation farmers want everybody doing the right thing and everyone operating under the same set of rules.
But it's possible somebody may have saw the rain, saw the water in the creeks in the river, and jumped the gun a bit.
Well, I guess until they hear that it's definitely not allowed, then people in the current circumstances might have thought, well, here is an opportunity to try and save a crop or try to get something going. Again, our member organisation, Namoi Water, was very quickly off the mark with that and advised people against it, thinking that there was going to be something coming with regard to an embargo. So I'm sure that the vast majority of irrigation farmers are doing the right thing, continue to do the right thing. But for those that knew about the embargo and then did something still after that, then obviously the regulators will look after that situation.
And it stretches credibility to think that they wouldn't have known if they're pumping at midday when there was advice going out the day before, so more than 24 hours before.
Well, again, I guess that would have to be that the person that is found to have still been pumping, as you say, at midday, that they wouldn't have been, maybe they weren't a member of our Namoi Water, they didn't get that email, they didn't get any other advice. But again, the regulators will go to see them, they'll ask the questions, they'll obviously ascertain proof and conduct themselves based upon the information they get. And we absolutely support the regulators going out there and doing that. And again, all irrigation farmers want to see everyone playing by the same set of rules.
And, well, the fact that people have been getting sort of dobbed in is a testament to that too, I gather.
Well, look, I don't know where the reports came from, but ultimately, people say, well, if I'm not allowed to have access to water, then no one else is allowed to have access to the water, and that's a pretty decent regulatory regime as well. Basically, people don't feel that they can get away with stuff and have respect for the rules. That's not a bad way to go.